He's a former pro, an SEC analyst, and a damn good dog. Max Dinchcombe is only on the College Football Voice of the South. Presented by Georgia's Own Credit Union, Cigna Engineered Solutions of Georgia, and ASW Distillery.
He is Matt Stinchcombe, joining us each and every Tuesday here on the Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM, and the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line. So, Matt, we're going to do the round and round, and certainly a lot of things are going to change as the season goes on. But as of right now, do you feel that Georgia should be the number four team for whatever it's worth in the second playoff poll?
No, I think they're good at five. If they slid up to four, great. As I think I've expressed before, I've got more than a few misgivings with how we go about ranking teams and why we rank them, when we rank them. We'll all pay attention, I guess. I'll probably read about what the rankings are tonight. Not sure that I will watch the actual show, but the fact that LSU wasn't already number one, that's what I keep going back to. I think it discredits the whole process, frankly. To say that Ohio State via the eye test is worthy of staying at one versus an LSU team that I guess now are they worthy of being number one? After beating Texas, Auburn, Florida, and now Alabama, is that enough? Because all four of those teams, three of them at least, are better than anyone that Ohio State has played or beaten. And yet Ohio State set in front of them. So it's just, there's a certain level of duplicity, I think, in how they go about doing this stuff. Are we trying to prop it up for ratings purposes where you can look out there and say, hey, wow, this is a top whatever matchup coming up this week? I don't know. I can't make heads or tails of what the committee values or doesn't value. I certainly don't know what the AP is doing most of the time. Although at least they finally got it right heading into this past weekend's games. But, does Georgia slide up there? Maybe. Does Oregon slide up there? I don't know. You'd like to think. What about Minnesota? What happens with them? They made a jump in the AP poll, but they never but they were sitting at 17 as an undefeated team, and then they beat what was thought to be a really good Penn State team that was sitting just outside the top four. In the committee's rankings. So I don't know how they're going to value that Minnesota win over Penn State and whether or not they stick them ahead of Georgia because of what would be viewed as a quality win over the Nittany Lions. I don't know.
Well, here's the conundrum, Matt, because certainly I don't think on a neutral field Minnesota is going to beat Alabama, but when you talk about quality wins, Minnesota has one, Alabama doesn't.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. It goes back to – there's it's like we bias ourselves unnecessarily. I say ourselves. I vote in neither poll, full disclosure. But you bias yourself to like some type of predictive ranking. You don't have to be predictive. Just rank them based on the games that have actually been played. Yeah, there's got to be some level of speculation as to how good a team is. And then it's either validated or invalidated by their schedule. But at this point in the season, it's ridiculous, I think, to have some of these teams ranked where they are when you'll have the opportunity to change it. You get to change it again next week. So, the arguments last week around Ohio State passing the eye test, I'm going, why should I trust an eye test when I can look at another team that looks pretty good to the eye and also has played good teams and won? And yet somehow my eye trumps that on behalf of one team versus the other. I think it introduces an unnecessary level of subjectivity to what is, in my eyes, an unnecessary exercise, which is a weekly ranking process. Doesn't matter. None of these rankings matter until the end of the season.
Yeah, I'm also of the belief that I can gather up four guys, make it five of us, and sit at a bar and really do what they do. We would just do it at a smaller level at a non-high-priced resort. Our threat count isn't going to be as good. So
why? Why would we do it that way, Domino? No, I don't even want to be a part of it.
Yeah, right. I agree. I mean, if we're going to do it, let's do it right.
Well, I don't have that kind of budget is my point. But Matt, what's really funny? You set yourself up for one of two things. Actually, there's a third thing, but it's not great either. So if you're Rob Mullinger, if you're the guy who has to speak, and he's the mouthpiece for this whole thing, because Lord knows somebody has to be, and sure, he's qualified, You either have to walk back what you thought because actual games were played, and you just have to go, well, that's why we play the games. Or you stand there and thump your own chest to talk about how you got two of them right, because did you see what they did? They won again. Then the third option is actually this one, where you would be honest and go, I don't know what the hell's going to happen next Saturday. Here's your list.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, not to rant further, but the idea, we've heard this many times trotted out there. I don't know if I've heard Rob mention it this year, but we start with a blank sheet of paper. Well, again, if we start with a blank sheet of paper, and if that's true, then the exercise of ranking teams the previous week was completely meaningless.
Yeah, I mean, it's a TV show, as Domino has said many times over. That's essentially what it is. That creates conversation that essentially means nothing. But our business is 97% speculation.
So now let's get to the speculation part that doesn't have to do with who the top four teams of the country are today and might be somewhere down the road. There was a column that I read pretty early this morning. Could it be the end of the dynasty was what they threw because they needed a headline to catch my attention for Alabama? Could there be an actual crack now in the Alabama where you go, you know what, they're going to lose benefit of the doubt to some degree. They certainly can't lose another game. But maybe going forward, they're not the biggest, baddest bully on the block because, and whatever reasons that were in this column, do you think there's any long-term effect for Alabama? Because everybody hits a lull. You can't be perfect for too long a period of time in this sport. Do you buy into the idea that there could be an after effect for the next couple of years?
I think this. I think if you predict the same thing long enough, eventually you'll be right. And there were people, I think it was 2014, when Alabama did not win the national championship.
Yeah, when Ohio State beat them. Yeah.
That's right, in the Sugar Bowl. And I believe they dropped the game to, was it Ole Miss that season? I believe it was.
That's correct, yes.
And everyone was predicting the dynasty is over. And now Alabama will begin its decline. And there have been some that have stuck with that. Every opportunity that they've had, they'll pop their head up again and they'll say, the Alabama dynasty will over, it's in decline, et cetera. And eventually, they will be right. We've seen this before. And I do think that LSU is a really good football team. And I do think that LSU was the better football team on Saturday. Now, it doesn't hurt that, you know, on the Alabama's opening possession, two of self fumbles on the 7-yard line, that came in handy. But regardless, the predictive nature that, okay, they lost to LSU, and I think we can all agree is if they're not the best team in the country, are they the second best team in the country? Maybe they're the second best team in the country. They lost to them by one possession with a quarterback that was, let's say, less than 75%. I mean, is that an indicator of a long-term decline? I'm hard-pressed to get there.
But there's relativeness to it because a second loss for Alabama, if the column was written after a loss to LSU in a one-possession game, if they drop a game to Auburn, now can you imagine what the headline is going to scream? They'll officially bury them. They'll have the rest
well,
in peace.
They should just end the program.
Right.
That is an irretrievable program at that point. It's broken beyond repair.
Gets the death penalty.
It's just we do love hyperbole, don't we? And you know you want to be right. So first one to it. How can I get there first? Well, let me go ahead and just predict it now, and then I can always say I'm wrong later with like some footnote at the bottom of my column.
Page 8.
So that's right. Is it possible? It is possible. I think you could point to a couple of things. One, the level of coaching turnover that program has endured is spectacular, and you look at it relative to other programs, and the fact that they've remained as competitive as they've been, regardless of the talent. The talent is remarkable as well, and I think that's what you can point to say that's how they've sustained their level of play year over year. But the amount of turnover that coaching staff goes through every season, and I'm not talking about just coordinators. I mean, you think about, you know, even their defensive front coach, their defensive line coach was there for 1 year, Craig Kuligowski, one and done, in and out, boom, boom. And you think about how good the defensive front was a season ago with Quinnen Williams and all those guys. I'm not saying it was because of Kuligowski. I'm just saying we talk about coordinator turnover. There's assistant turnover in Tuscaloosa as well. Now, he's got an entire dormitory filled with former head coaches that are analysts and doing who knows what over there, film gerbil work. But the coaches on the field, they're turning over. And to do that year over year over year, I do think that there's a possibility that that actually has a longer-term effect. But it's relative to, like you said, Chris, what we've seen Alabama do in the past. So if Alabama is not one of the top two teams in the country, or if it has a season when it's not one of the top four, but then bounces back among the top four the next year, does that mean the dynasty was over?
So
it's just relative to itself? Yeah, maybe. Maybe it is going to start to wane.
So let me ask you, you're honest about it. You never played on an elite college football team. You weren't on a team that had, and even Minnesota, while it's not an elite, they're having a really good year. LSU thinks they're back. They just raised their own bar ridiculously high. It's probably championship or bust now at LSU. Do you believe that that's a normal thing for 18 to 22-year-olds to handle? Because I don't. That idea of being patted on the back, the idea of not having fat cat syndrome hit you. Man, I can only imagine. And I'm not talking about all 85, but I do think that some guys probably wander. I think adults wander when they have success. What do you think the reality for the 18 to 22-year-olds is when you reach a point where, wow, this much is at stake?
Yeah, it's tough to say now because I do think before we have these systems, and my last year was the first year of the BCS system, so that'll for frame of reference. And before that system existed, there was all kinds of different ways to have a quote-unquote successful season where there was a point in time, believe it or not, where if you played in the Sugar Bowl and it wasn't for the national championship, you actually felt like you had a pretty darn good season. That seems like that time never existed now to these kids. And so I will say that there's kind of two polarities. One is that it's championship or bust, the pressure that comes with that. Because for sure at LSU, you don't win it all now, and it's like, well, was this all for naught? Mm-hmm. Now, they are celebrating right now over a regular season victory as if it were the national championship. And I get it. I think if they've lost, what, 8 in a row or something like that? I've been on the other side of that versus Florida, where we finally get a win. And it's like, yeah, man, feels like we actually did something kind of spectacular in 97. But the other side of it is that do these kids think that because they won a regular season game, because of the ability for social media to be completely immersed in adulation, does that take their edge off? So there's two sides of it. One is you got to keep your edge because I got to win a championship or we really didn't do anything this year. We got to make the playoffs or we really didn't do anything this year. And there's a lot of programs where that would apply. You make the playoffs, and if you don't, it's a busted season. The other side of it is that how do I maintain focus on that element of making the playoff and winning out and performing at a high level when I'm getting sunshine blown all over your roster, you know, at all times. And it's happening right now as we speak. And it'll happen until probably Thursday, maybe Friday, before they finally move on to the next week for some of these programs, especially at LSU. That's quite the balancing act for a teenager.
Matt Stinchcomb with us as we finish up. He joins us, as always, on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line. Do you believe Jake Fromm when he says we're so close to executing on all cylinders? Or is this, and again, we seem to ask this question every week, is this it, the best we're going to see from this Georgia offense?
Yeah, I got no reason to question the guy. I mean, I guess you're sitting there and the evidence is on a Saturday. Do I think that they're going to become an offense like we saw this past Saturday night with Alabama and LSU? I don't. And a lot of that is a function of, I keep going back to this, when we came into the season, what was the question mark about Georgia's offense? The biggest question mark.
Receivers.
It was wide receivers. And the teams that we saw this past Saturday, they have the two best wide receiving cores in college football. And it's not a conversation. No one is even arguing or contending that someone else is close. They go four deep. All four of them are elite. And if you throw in the Moss kid, that would be true of LSU too. And you look at Georgia, and the question mark was receiver, and that's manifested itself, I think, in how that offense plays. Now, we've said this a couple of times. You can't say they're all new and young now because they're not new anymore. They might be young. They're not new. These guys have played. And so, yes, they have had to step up. You know, George Pickens, you know, maybe the seal was broken a little bit the other day versus Missouri when Cager went out, re-aggravated that shoulder, and Pickens had to step up. made a pretty spectacular grab for six. So you wonder if there's a certain cap where those guys will finally be able to break through that ceiling. But will it be to the level of production that you'll see from these other two teams? No. And I think that's an unrealistic – it would be an unrealistic expectation for that to happen. And when Fromm says that we're so close to being dot, 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 that would be the Georgia version of whatever that is. You know, if you win 17-14, you still win. If you win 46-41, you still win. Might not have been as exciting, but there's no doubt that the whole point is you win how you need to win. And I'm not so sure – I don't think it's reasonable to think that that Georgia offense can be with their current roster, what those other two teams are and how they run theirs.
Matt, last one. How great defensively would a team have to be to get spoken of the same way that great offensive teams are talked about?
Man, you know what? It would take I mean, it's such an offensive game now. I mean, we look at those two teams, right? What are the hallmarks, or what used to be the hallmark of LSU? And you know, you have to go further back for Alabama. The hallmark of Alabama football, and you see a game that goes into the 40s. It's just – it's kind of hard to wrap your head around it. It's become the norm. You would have to – you know, you hold one of those offenses to, like, three scores, you've really done something. The problem is statistically it still doesn't feel – it feels like a boring offensive game. It doesn't feel like a great defense.
You're never going to get credit. Georgia's got, what, three shutouts?
Correct.
So they're never, not going to get talked about the way that LSU's offense. I don't even know if there's a possibility to have your defense talked about the way that great offenses are talked about.
Well, I'll tell you what, I think you're probably right, because instead we call that's bad football now. Well, it was a couple of years ago, it was like 10-6, I think, the LSU-Alabama game.
And 9-6.
9-6, thank you. And the whole commentary around it was, oh, that was ugly, just hideous football. I watched the same game. I thought it was a great game. I thought every possession mattered. It was a total slugfest. It was fun to watch. But now it's the narrative is, the commentary is, if you're not lighting up that scoreboard, it's bad football or bad offense. Maybe it's just elite defense. So there should be an appreciation out there, but I'm not so sure that we're going to have that. And look, if Georgia shuts down LSU, if they get a chance for that, if they shut down Alabama – defensively, if they get that win, then there will be a nod towards that defense. It will not be, I think, the level of attention that we give great offense.
Look, it could always be worse. You could be Arkansas. It's bad across the board. You were there for the final game last week of the Chad Morris era as they fall to Western Kentucky.
Yeah, that's right. That's one heck of a – that's a horrible – if you have to make your comparison relative to that, you're in a bad spot. So, yes, it could be worse.
Where are you going where a coach is going to get fired this week?
Matt Stinchcomb, the coach killer.
No, that's not it. I'm an objective observer. Got nothing to do with that.
Where are you going to be at?
I've got Kentucky at Vanderbilt. So
Actually, you might go 2-for-2.
Oh, boy.
No. Man, it's not – you don't want to be that guy. So, no. I mean, it's – you don't want to be a part of that, that's for sure.
Things aren't going exactly swimmingly well at Vanderbilt. All right, Matt, we'll talk more next week.
All right, fellas.
Thanks,
talk to you soon.
Thank you for the extended conversation today. Matt Stinchcomb joining us on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line.